Periodically on this program, I'll make a pitch to not take things for granted, yet something about which I feel very, very strongly. Frequently, my urging involves not overlooking simple outdoor pleasures, such as the northern lights or close encounters with wildlife. At other times, it's been outdoor activities or opportunities to share those activities with kids. But sometimes the things we take for granted can be a lot more mundane, like a good night's sleep. Just what that is and can look like can look a lot different from person to person, and likely even changes appearances over the life of a single person. For example, in college I required very little sleep, like a lot of other 20-year-olds. When I say very little, what I mean is that during any given week, there might be multiple days that saw no sleep at all. At age 50, I can't do that anymore, and to really function with any level of reliability, 6 or 7 hours a night are pretty much a must. Some folks need more, some folks need less. And how we get that good night's sleep varies too. For example, I thrive on an uber-soft mattress, one of those types you can sink into and the type that gives some people backaches just thinking about. For whatever reason, I've never had back issues, despite being of a more robust build, and soft has always been the best way to sleep. The reason I say we can take such pedestrian things as sleep for granted is that when we don't get it, we realize what we're missing. Such has been a good chunk of the past month for me. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. There's been a bug going around, as happens time to time around the Bristol Bay region, and particularly during our colder months. I must be really special this year because I've had it twice, and in both cases, it resulted in me losing out on a good night's sleep due to my inability to lay flat without practically seizing up in a coughing fit, nor really to fall asleep at all without inducing some level of coughing. But this isn't meant to be a pity party for me about my recent health issues, issues that many of you are going through as well, if the doctors I've talked to are to be believed. No, it's merely to point out how easy it is to take something fairly common for granted, like a good night's sleep. Of course, a part of getting a good night's sleep is being properly prepared, as it is with many things in life. In the case of my normal nighttime sleeping at home, that includes a good mattress, an even better mattress pad, the right comforters, and thick, soft pillows. A good night's sleep isn't something that has to end at home, though. On previous episodes, I've mentioned things that have helped me to always get that in the field as well, including a sleeping pad I grow more attached to with each trip I take. But let's take that one step further today and consider getting a good night's sleep while you camp in the winter. It seems like we finally have winter again, and I'll rush out to find some good wood to knock on as soon as this episode is over. Looking at the forecast for the coming week shows blue skies and temperatures in the lower 20s. Also, there's enough snow on the ground to make snow machine travel really solid, even if I haven't had the chance to experience that myself yet. Here's the thing. It doesn't have to be about just day trips. If you have the time and your destination is a bit farther, pitch a tent and stay a night or two. With the right gear and a little planning, you can have the same good night's sleep in a tent in the winter that you'd have in your bed at home, or close to it anyway. It's helpful, I think, to consider your sleep gear as components to an overall system, and your approach to the use of that gear as having a few defined tactics to maximize your chances for achieving success. During the warmer months, you can get by with a bit more of a cavalier approach to camping and sleeping in a tent. The colder months of winter demand a more considered approach. When I'm winter camping, what I'll sleep on and in includes these items: a sleeping bag, a sleeping bag liner, an air mat, a foam sleeping pad, and a pillow. Clothing is a part of that as well, but I'll address that separately in a moment. My sleeping bag goes on top of my air mat and a closed cell foam pad. The foam pad doesn't have to be anything fancy. I picked up mine for $10 on Amazon, and I also use those interlocking foam mats used for kids from time to time. I used to have occasional issues with condensation issues between my bag and my air mat. The additional layer was recommended to solve that, and it has. My air mat is the one that I've raved about before, the Climate Static V Lux, and I'll keep right on raving about it. It's easily one of the best outdoor products that I've ever purchased. I have around 2 full months of tent sleeping on this air mat and have yet to have a bad night's sleep. That said, if I could change one thing, I might decide on the insulated version of it, which wasn't available when I purchased mine. Most folks give the most thought to their sleeping bag, and that's understandable. That's what you'll actually spend the night encased in. There are many considerations when selecting a bag, including material, size, shape, insulation type, and temperature rating. Of those, I'm going to mention the last first, temperature rating. A sleeping bag's rating identifies the lowest temperature at which a bag is intended to keep the average sleeper warm. For example, if a bag is rated to 20 degrees, it means that most users should remain comfortable if the temperature gets no lower than 20 degrees. When you consider this, keep in mind a few things. These ratings assume that the sleeper is wearing long underwear and using a sleeping pad. Also, everyone's wired a bit different as far as their metabolism. For example, I sleep fairly warm, and it doesn't take as much to keep me warm, so I factor that in when I choose a sleeping bag. Some people who run cold need a bag that's rated for colder than they expect to encounter. My current favorite bag is rated to zero, and I've used it to perhaps 10 below and been fine. Colder weather bags cost more, but you won't remember the price if it's keeping you warm in sub-zero temperatures. Bag size and shape are largely personal preference, though a bag that's on the small size but usable has an advantage in the cold in that there's less space to have to warm. Sleeping bag liners are thin inserts made of various materials that can add from 5 to 10 degrees of noticeable difference to the bag's rating. Pillows I have mentioned before. A concession I have made in recent years is that I use a real pillow, full size, not some lightweight camping pillow. It helps me to sleep better, so it's always worth the extra space in my pack. Let's talk about dressing for sleep. It's critical to use dry clothes for bed, no matter how heavy or light the clothes are, or how many layers you need to be comfortable. If I've been traveling by snow machine, it's not uncommon that my base layer synthetic long underwear are dry, and I'll start with that as a minimum. I really don't like wearing socks to bed, but I let the temperature dictate whether I do or don't wear them. If it's really cold, I may also opt for a light, loose-fitting fleece layer over the top, or a hoodie. I almost always wear a stocking cap of some kind while sleeping in a tent. In the winter for the warmth, and in the summer to pull over my eyes to make it darker. But a hood over that cap can provide additional warmth. There is a fine line where clothes are concerned, though. You want them to help keep you warm, but you don't want to perspire while you sleep. Trial and error will let you know what your body needs. And then there's doing what you can to have your body ready to climb into a sleeping bag. It's important to stay hydrated, and even more so during the colder months, so drink plenty of fluids. One aspect I don't do a good job with is staying away from caffeine, particularly right before bed. Caffeine obviously is a diuretic and is likely to prompt you out of bed during the night. That said, I enjoy a cup of hot tea or coffee during the evening hours of a winter camping trip. Frankly, I'm at an age where at least one trip to answer the call of nature is a given every night anyway, so I figure I'm already in for a penny, might as well be in for a pound. Your health, metabolism, and mileage may vary. It's possible that by exercising caution with what you drink, you can spare yourself that cold trip out to bring things under control. It's a good idea to eat a hot, hearty meal before bed. Your body will use this to keep you warm through the night, and when you consider foods, protein trumps sugars. Proteins release their energy more slowly than sugars, and this has the effect of helping to keep you warmer through the night. Sleeping out in the winter isn't for everyone. I get that. An oven by itself, it's not what I would call a thrilling thing to do. But for those who enjoy getting outdoors to pursue the various activities we like to do, in my case hunting or fishing, a willingness to pitch a tent and stay can add valuable time to the pursuit of those activities. The ability to stay overnight someplace doesn't have to stop because it's winter. It just takes a bit of planning to do in a way that's not only safe, but can be relatively comfortable too. A way that still gives you not just a night's sleep, but a good night's sleep. Here's hoping this episode finds you sleeping well, whether it's on your bed at home or outdoors. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.